Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. It's nice to see everybody here today. If you're visiting with us, we extend a very special welcome to you. If there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. We'd like to assist you in any way we can. Have a couple of announcements. Wanted to inform everybody that our son Bobby's surgery went well last Friday. Thank you so much for the prayers on his behalf. He's home recuperating from that, and hopefully he'll heal just fine and get back to normal soon. Please keep Stacy in your prayers. As you notice, my sidekick's not here today. She's home sputtering and coughing a little bit, not feeling good, so keep her in your prayers. Emily, our sister Emily, sent a message that she would like read, and we will pray for her in just a moment. She says, I made a statement publicly that should have been dealt with privately. I didn't handle the situation according to the way it is laid out in Scripture for us. I am asking for forgiveness from God and from my church family. What a wonderful heart that displays. Let's go to God with Emily on behalf of her, and what a great lesson for all of us in regards to that. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you thanking you so much for the blessings that you give us every day. Not only the physical blessings, but the spiritual blessings. We thank you that you give us your word as a guideline, as a standard for us to follow. Dear God, we ask that you be with Emily right now. We hope that this situation can be resolved and is resolved. And we're thankful for her example of repentance and prayer to you. Dear God, we're thankful for forgiveness and for the avenue of repentance. Please be with her, be with us as we support her. We pray everything through your son Jesus. Amen. This, in a lot of ways, in many ways, goes along with the lesson today about baptism. God has given us the avenue, once we are Christians, once we have been baptized, when we do stumble, when we do fall, all we have to do is ask for forgiveness. I'm not making it a frivolous situation that, oh, all we got to do is forgive. But all we have to do is repent. To ask for forgiveness, change our ways. We don't have to be rebaptized every time. And I just used a word I hate using. There is no such thing as rebaptism. But we don't have to be baptized again and again and again every time we stumble. And once we are a Christian, we've got the avenue of prayer. We have the avenue of asking God for forgiveness. And when we repent, we are forgiven. And let's go ahead and get into our lesson, which is baptism. Most of us in here have been biblically, doctrinally baptized. Some of us haven't been. Even those of us that have been baptized decades ago, maybe these are some scriptures that we can use to teach others this concept. I may not be teaching many people at all about baptism, because you've already understood the concept, because you've obeyed the gospel in baptism. But this might be a way for you to refute somebody in the world, at work, in the front yard, about salvation, about the importance of baptism. And it just might reinforce us that the decision we made so long ago was true, was the right one. And that when we do stumble, we are a prayer and a repentance away from being right with God. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing to the Christians in Ephesus, and he's emphasizing the oneness of the church. And he says in verse 4, there is one body and one spirit. I skipped underlining the one spirit. Shame on me. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. There's only one. But yet the world teaches various baptisms, various different ways, whether it be the how, the format, the when, the how they go about it. But the scriptures say there's one. The word, the Greek word for baptism is baptizo. And it literally means, in the original Greek, it means to dip, plunge, or immerse underwater. If we go with the original way it was written, that would eliminate a lot of those various methods. The little spritz bath, the little pouring, getting a clamshell and pouring, you know, a little bit of water over somebody. That's why we submerge people. All the examples in the New Testament are of immersion. Not one was in some of the ways that many people use today. We use the word in secular society. People will use the word baptism, but they may be using it wrong. Maybe they do it the right way, but at the wrong place. The right place, but the wrong way. The right way, but the wrong time. Right way, but the wrong reason. We see all of these coming into play. Maybe people will do it, you know, at the end of church camp, out of emotion because their friends got baptized and they're caught up in the moment. Maybe don't know why. Or they do it, you know, they do it right, but out of pressure. It's expected of them by their family. It's expected by their future spouse. I will shut them up and I'll just go through that ceremony because I'm wanting to marry you. Some people do it to join a group. And they think that they'll be part of that group. It's like an initiation. Some people do it the wrong time to infant children that don't even have... The purpose of baptism is forgiveness of sins. And you take this little baby and you're saying you're forgiving their sins? What sins do they have? I know of one religious group that will baptize some people instead of other people, that they'll do it in proxy for them. and they're dead. They have no say-so in it. It's too late for them. But they'll baptize others. It's got to be the right way, the right method, the right reason, or it's just getting wet. People say, I need to be rebaptized. No. If you didn't do it right the first time, you need to be baptized. Simple as that. In Acts 2:5, we see, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. They were there for Pentecost. And Peter went on to tell them and explain to them and taught to them a wonderful gospel message about Jesus when he had them as an audience, and says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They had one of those soul-wrenching, gut-wrenching moments. What did we do? And what do we need to do to be saved? And Peter responded. Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then a few verses later, we see the aftermath of this, and they continued steadfastly. They continued. I think it was last week Dick was mentioning in his lesson, about how baptism is not the end result. A lot of times we picture somebody sliding into home plate, safe. They've been baptized. It's all over. That's the beginning. That's when they become a Christian. And it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. These Jews on the day of Pentecost, when they had gathered from all over, they were devout. They already believed in God, but they weren't saved. They weren't saved until they were baptized. We see a pattern here. They heard the word of God. They understood. They were convicted of sin, and they obeyed it. All of them have to be together. You know, a lot of people are convicted of sin, but they don't do anything about it. A lot of people hear the word of God, but it just goes in one ear and out the other. And then they continued steadfastly in fellowship, teaching, the doctrine, the prayer, and all of that. In Acts 8, we have the account of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. And starting in verse 26, it says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. If it was today, he'd say, and put a helmet on and some body armor because there's going to be lots of shooting. And say, this is the area that we see in the news every day. A soul was saved in the very area that we see in the news. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. This guy must be good to go. He's rich. He's got authority. He believes. He's even reading scripture. What need is there of Philip? Well, we'll see. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and asked, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. What a lesson for us. Wherever the person is at in their life, in their understanding, in their situation, we preach Jesus. In whatever situation they're in. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The same confession that the Apostle Peter made in Caesarea Philippi, the same confession that Thomas made, the same confession that Jesus wants us to make to men in Matthew 10:32. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. We just sang that song, going down to the river to pray, going down into the water. You look at the eunuch from Ethiopia. He had heard, studied, and discussed the Word of God. He obviously understood what had been discussed because when they got to water, he put two and two together. It takes baptism to save me. Here's water. Why can't I be baptized? And Philip told him he could. He confessed Jesus as the Son of God, and he was immersed. They went down into the water. What a wonderful example in real time of salvation. You've got the same thing going on with Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile, and Peter went to him and taught him the Word of God. It describes Cornelius as being a devout man, a just man with a good reputation, a man that prayed, that believed, and was generous. By the world's standards, he's good to go. By the world's standards, what more do you want? He was a good and devout man, but he wasn't saved. That's why Peter was sent to him. He heard, he obeyed, and was baptized. Same with Lydia. She believed, prayed to God, met with other women to pray. Paul was sent to her. She heard him, she was baptized, and remained faithful. the Philippian jailer. He heard, he was taught by Paul, he believed, he repented, and was baptized. The Corinthians, as a group, these were Jews and Gentiles, they were taught and they believed. And in verse 8 it says, many of them heard, believed, and were baptized because of that. I'd like to end up with Romans, the 6th chapter. We've used this so many times in sermons and classes and so forth. Paul is talking to the Romans and ultimately talking to us today. Starting in verse 3, he says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Just as Christ died, was buried, and was resurrected, that's very symbolic of us at baptism. We die to ourselves. We don't get baptized and take that old life with us. We die. We're buried in baptism. And when we come up, we are a new creature. We are a Christian. And thus should act and live accordingly. And I want to leave you with, it was our scripture reading today that Kristen read. Jesus himself, after what we call the Great Commission, about going into the world, teaching and baptizing, he says in Mark 16:16, he explains that he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. That's why he was sending them out. Go out and teach people, because unless you do, they will be condemned. So go teach them, make disciples, and baptize them. I'm going to leave you with a question. Only you can answer it. Have you been baptized properly, according to the scriptures? If you haven't, we have the opportunity right now. Right now. We didn't see any of those people. We didn't see the Ethiopian eunuch. Philip, you make a lot of sense. You know, when I get back to Ethiopia, I think I'm going to look into this a little bit more in detail. When I have a convenient time, that water's a little dirty. I got much cleaner water at the palace where I live. None of them waited. If you haven't been baptized, you're not saved. You don't have the blood of Jesus cleansing you. We have the opportunity now to correct that. If you need to be baptized, please come forward. Let your needs be known. If there's sin in your life, if you've been baptized and there's sin, something separating you, keeping you from fully serving God. We had an example of Emily repenting today. Follow suit. Repent. If it's a private issue, repent privately to God. If it's a public issue, repent publicly. If you need prayers, whatever your need, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's all stand and sing.